Great job, John Weatherby. Great weather we're having here. We're all proud of you.
Well, what do you expect? His name's Weatherby. I mean, wouldn't that make the weather great?
I would certainly.
Let's make the weather great again.
We need a trucker hat for that. I'll see if the WGST promo department can get right on that. But in the meantime, we're back here on Rhino Radio in the Rhino Shield studio. This is Charlie Harper, publisher of GeorgiaPol.com. I've got editors John Richards, Stephen Turkheimer in here with me. And I'm going to call an audible now because we talked through the whole break and I didn't actually tell them what we were about to talk about. But St. Patrick's Day was yesterday, and unfortunately I'm the idiot that decided to give up drinking for Lent, and so I didn't get to have my normal Irish heritage celebration that I like to have. But there might have been days, I have friends that have told me they've had this experience anyway, where after they've been drinking a lot, they kind of realize late in the evening and often early the next morning, they make a solemn vow that if they just get out of this situation, they're never going to drink again, never going to touch another drop. My Irish DNA is so strong that I will say I've never made that claim. I've always known better. But at any rate, it's always when people find themselves in a predicament and they look around and realize it was of their own making, with a little bit of self-inflicted stupidity involved, that they'll make that vow in the middle of it if they can just get out of it, that they'll always do better. And I say that because back in 2010, the Senate voted to double the size of the rainy day fund, and they took the cap. And the rainy day fund is the reserves the state keeps on hand to make sure normal operations are going on. And so the rainy day fund can now be up to 15% of Georgia's annual budget, which is a $23 billion, the state portion, state-funded portion of the budget. So we're up to about a $23 billion budget. And so doing the quick math, that's about a $3.6 billion cap that's on the rainy day fund right now. And Georgia's rainy day fund, we got hit hard during the last recession, and we've managed to put back most of the money we went into the last recession with. We're up to about $1.4 billion, I believe, this year. I say that because there's a bill that's come through the Senate now that says the rainy day fund's too high, that we need to cut it, and we need to do an immediate income tax cut because North Carolina. And North Carolina's been cutting their income taxes. It used to be higher than Georgia's. Now it's slightly less than. The difference in why I bring that up, and I apologize for the math, but Georgia went into the last recession with $1.5 billion, $1.6 billion on hand. And only because of that and because of $2 billion of stimulus money that no good Republican that's talking about cutting the rainy day fund wants to admit we had to take to get the checks paid, we took $2 billion of federal money out of the stimulus package. We furloughed teachers. We haven't given state employees pay raises in 8 years. They've had one 1% raise until the budget that'll be passed this year. So we've asked our state employees, and we say state employees, I know a lot of especially Republicans somehow think state employees are stealing their money from them via the tax system, but we're talking about state troopers that now have an abnormally high turnover rate because they're among the lowest paid in the nation. And, you know, no one likes the state trooper when they pull them over for going 80 miles an hour, but you really like them when they're the ones that are assisting you out of an accident or preventing that other guy that just flew by you from causing the next one. And we've got, prison guards are also the lowest paid in the state to the point that they, you know, one prison formed its own corruption network for these guys to subsidize their pay. I'm not defending that in any way, but if you don't pay market wages for people, you have to take the people that you end up hiring, and that's just not a good situation. So we've basically been balancing the budget on the backs of a lot of our state employees. We've got our rainy day fund back up, and now people think we're holding too much. And you guys want to chime in on anything? Like, the only point I'm trying to make is it's an election year, and people want to offer you anything. People are doing things that are scared because of the Trump phenomenon. They want to all of a sudden show they're fiscally conservative by cutting taxes. And raiding the cupboard is what Louisiana did when times were strong and they had oil revenue. And they're probably about to have massive tax increases and layoffs and close some colleges and, because they basically, when times were good, they didn't put up surpluses. They actually sold off state assets and did everything they could to balance their budget when it was good. And now that they're having problems because of oil revenue cuts, they don't know what to do. Georgia, we made that bargain a while back, you know, that we were going to double the size of our rainy day fund so we wouldn't have to rely on federal stimulus money the next time we have something. And now that we've got it not even halfway there of where the cap could be, we're trying to cut it.
Well, I think there's two reasons that this is not going to go anywhere in the long run. And the first reason is that a revenue bill came out of the Senate. It was Senator Judson Hill's Finance Committee, Senate Finance Committee. It's been a concern, but he went ahead and did it. That doesn't really keep the House very happy. They want to see revenue bills coming out of the House. The second reason is Governor Deal. And Governor, even if it should make it through the House and pass there, which it might due to the election year pressures and Trump phenomenon that we've talked about, the governor's going to veto it because he wants his AAA bond rating, and that would endanger it.
Yeah, and we almost lost that last year because of some of the caps put in. So that's another, I mean, we get to borrow money cheaper as long as we're only borrowing the right amount, and we have reserves to show to put up for it. Stefan, you're about to jump in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a question about how much you want to pay for stuff. I mean, like, do we want to pay $200 million for a road or $350 million for a road? And if we don't collect enough in taxes, we actually have to pay more. And that's what this is really about.
So I think you will see in the days and months ahead, as the Republicans have to question everything that we think we stand for, because I'm about to go on a very public record with a detailed explanation that I've come to the conclusion that the party I've spent three decades in can't articulate it, what it stands for, because we don't know what we stand for anymore. And we've redefined everything to terms that don't matter, and fiscal responsibility is one of them, because if fiscal responsibility just means slashing things to the bone and leaving the state open to fiscal downturns and risk, that's not responsible in my book. We're going to pivot this to presidential politics for the next segment, but we got about a minute here left. Georgia General Assembly shotgun. Anything else? We haven't talked about MARTA. MARTA expansion has some local legislation that will at least allow Fulton and Atlanta to do anything.
I think to do expansion.
Anything else you guys want to throw in a minute?
I think that's going to be significant, and I think it probably sails through the Senate without any problems.
We should say kudos to Jan Jones. I mean, because that's not the easiest thing to do. With working on a MARTA bill, given her constituency, I think kudos to her.
And I believe she brought the entire North Fulton delegation with her. I didn't check the vote count, but I was told that all of North Fulton was on board. So what started out as a Brandon Beach only in the Senate with what was presumed to be heavy opposition from the North Fulton House delegation, it turns out it's the North Fulton House delegation that kind of figured out how to get that through the House. It wasn't the original Beach bill, but, you know, MARTA's on deck. So, and that was Stefan Turkheimer that said kudos to Jan Jones. Let's get an audio recording of that, because we might need to play that later.
There goes my chance to win a Democratic primary.
Yep.
We'll be back with some presidential politics on Georgia Pal Radio, Sully Show, 640 AM WGST.